Well, thank you for that song this morning. It's good to be with you again. You know, the Bible says, don't put much stock into special days. It says, as a matter of fact, it says something like this. Some people in the church put a lot of stock into special days. Paul said, some people don't. They just say every day is from the Lord. And so, but there are those dates and occasions that we do remember. We always recognize the birth of Jesus. We recognize the resurrection of Jesus. But one of those interesting dates that rarely we celebrate or we even talk about is the date of May the 14th, 1948, which along with the birth of Jesus and His resurrection may be one of the most important dates that the church has ever had in its history. Because Jesus said that there would come a time that we'd have to learn a lesson from the fig tree. Most commentators believe Israel is a picture of that fig tree. And as you know, for 2,000 years they were scattered across the ends of the earth. Their people were slaughtered, they were beaten, they were sold into slavery. And yet in 1948, that fig leaf bloomed again. When it seemed like there was no hope, God made something happen. And what happened on that day that we need to talk about today is that God's prophetic alarm clock began to sound. And what it sounded was that we are now at the beginning of the end. For the next several weeks, the Lord willing, and God keeps letting me wake up and keep a right mind, I want to share with you a series of messages called The Beginning of the End. If you have your Bible this morning, will you take it and turn to the book of Matthew? We're just going to look at a couple of verses this morning. Matthew chapter 24. I'm going to just read the first two verses. Jesus left the temple and was going away when his disciples came to point out to him the buildings of the temple. But he answered them, "You see all these? Do you not? Truly I say to you, there will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that this morning that you would speak, that you would show us your truth. God, that we would grasp it, we would rely on it. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you would invade right now our minds, our hearts, and our souls. God, that you would enlighten us, that you would instruct us, you would translate this truth to our very core beings. In Jesus' name, amen. This passage starts off a very interesting time in Jesus' life. It starts off saying, Jesus left the temple and was going away. The first thing I want to share with you this morning as we are talking about the beginning of end is this. All religion is empty. Jesus leaves the temple. Jesus will never, ever come back to that temple. Jesus will never take part in anything they do there. Jesus will never listen to another word there, nor will he speak there, nor will his presence be there. And so what you have is this huge edifice that now is just simply an empty shell of religion. Religion is nothing more but man trying to get God's approval. Let me say that again. Religion is nothing more than mankind trying to achieve or to get God's approval. Ever since the beginning of time, God said to Adam and Eve, he said, listen, you can do anything you want, but do not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And you know the story. They ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And it says immediately after they ate it, it says their eyes were opened. They realized they were naked and they covered themselves with fig leaves. Suddenly they thought, hey, this is not how we're supposed to look. Let's do the right thing. Let's cover up. And most of us would say, amen. But ever since that time, mankind has weighed out his options. Should I do the right thing or the wrong thing? Should I do what's good or should I do what's bad? Should I do what's pure or should I do what's evil? And what we like to do is add up all the things that we've done and present them to God and say, listen, I'm a pretty good old guy, you know. I don't drink and I don't chew and I don't date women that do, you know. And so we like to brag about how good we are. And that is simply a fig leaf. Think about fig leaves. They may look good for a while, but eventually it gets dry and torn and broken, and you're back in the same state you started with. Listen, you can get all religionized, and you can be reformed, and you can be very disciplined. But what we need is to be transformed by the power of God. All kind of fig leaves that we use, we have the baptism fig leaf. And the church membership fig leaf. And good deeds fig leaf. And being part of the community fig leaf. Prayer fig leaf. And I could go on and on and on. When I lived in Budapest, one of the things that I would do if I found out a group was coming there that they knew me or we had some kind of connection, sometimes we didn't have any at all, I gave tours of the city. And one of the things I would do, I would take them, first of all, I'd take them up on the castle hill and I would take them to where all the kings of the Austro-Hungarian Empire were crowned. And I'd show them where they were stood and where Franz Joseph was and Sissy and Princess Elizabeth. I would take them all and show them where the Turks came in and tore things down and scribbled stuff on the wall. Then we'd leave there and we'd take a train down to the Pest side of Budapest. And there I'd take them to the Basilica. That huge monstrosity of a building with pillars that are just so big you can't even imagine. And on the inside, all that gold inlay and the gold crosses and all the altars in every corner of the church. You go to the very back and you can see the hand of King Istvan of Hungary's first Christian king. And they said because he put it on the Bible, God never let it rot. Then we'd leave there and walk about three blocks to the second largest synagogue in the world. And I'd take people in there. You know, in a synagogue and in a mosque, they don't have any pictures. Just basically, for South Georgia people, it's paisleys all over the wall. And gold on top. You could see on the top, if you stood at just the right corner and you looked real hard, you could see solid gold, probably 10 to 15 feet high, 10 commandments on top of that synagogue. I did that over and over and over. And you know what I begin to recognize? It doesn't matter which one it is. Religion is religion is religion is religion is religion, and it's all worthless. Jesus left the temple, and he went away. The second thing I want you to see this morning is this. Jesus said this in verse 2. But he answered them, saying, "You see all these?" Jesus asked us a prophetic question. Can you see what's happening right now? Can you see all of this? Do you understand what the events are that are taking place? Listen, the Bible is very clear. Jesus said, "My Father is always at work." Listen, the things that are happening in your life day by day may seem monotonous. They may seem boring. They may seem very routine, but I can tell you the Bible says the steps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord. Every single day, God is working something in your life. Every single step you take, God has already written it down before it came to be. Everything that you see on the news, everything that you hear about in the newspaper, God is orchestrating events all around us. When you hear about the riots and about the coronavirus, and you hear about the vaccine, what you see are prophecies right being unfolded right before your eyes. You know, one of the things I thought very interesting when the coronavirus first came out, and any place you went to, did you notice the two places they always wanted you to show was your hand or your forehead? You know why? Conditioning people so when the mark of the beast comes, it gets stuck on your hand or your forehead. You didn't know you were already being set up for the end of things. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 18, I believe it's the last verse, it says, the nations were deceived by their sorceries. You know what the word sorceries is? The word drugs. They're pharmacies. So you better be careful. You better know what you're doing before you go around and follow everything that the government's telling you to do. I don't like to get political, but I will say one thing. President Trump exposed just how corrupt America's government is. From the White House to the outhouse. It's bad. And what we're seeing is that, listen, God's events are happening all around us. I wrote these verses down this morning because I was thinking about what we read a couple of weeks ago when we were talking about the parables, that Jesus said this, Matthew 13 and verse 13 and 15. He says, this is why I speak to you in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. Indeed, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled that says, you will indeed hear, but never understand. You will indeed see, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear, and with their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. The Bible here in Jesus even warns that, listen, you need to see. Jesus said to the disciples, do you see all of these? Do you see what's happening? Do you understand what's going on? That old song says, signs of the time are everywhere, and there's a brand new feeling in the air. Keep your eyes upon the eastern sky. Lift up your head. Redemption draweth nigh. Jesus reminds us when he said he left the temple and went away, that religion is worthless. When Jesus said to his disciples, can you see all these? Do you see all these? He reminded us that we need to recognize the events and the times in which we live in. And then in verse 2, he says this, truly I say to you, there will not be left here one stone upon the other that will not be thrown down. It's kind of hard for us to grasp what Jesus says. Herod the first, who had tried to kill Jesus as he was born, had built the temple. It was the largest structure in the world in the first century. It was so much bigger and greater that it made Solomon's temple pale in comparison. But Jesus says something interesting here. He looks at it and he said, listen, you see all that? It's going to be erased. Not one stone will be left on another. Not one stone will be left. In less than 40 years, the city of Jerusalem and that temple area would become completely uninhabitable, It will become a desert. It will become a wasteland and would be snatched out. You know, one of the things that we need to recognize is that all things come to an end. Things are so unbelievable. Everything is going to stop one day. I saw Bobby Bowden's last interview, and they asked him about his life and about his career. He said, you know, everything comes to an end. And Jesus, I believe here, is one of the things he's reminding us of, is that we are to be ready for the end. Guess what? One day your life's going to end. One day your life's going to end. One day your life's going to end. One day my life's going to end. And we must be ready. You never know. 1987, I took my very first paid ministry job. I didn't know anything. I'll never forget the pastor interviewed me. He said, have you ever taught a Sunday school class? I said, no. I was going to be hired as the worship and youth pastor, music and youth. Can you play an instrument? No. Can you read music? No. Have you ever led kids anywhere? No. And I finally looked at him after all these questions. I said, listen, here's what I can say to you. The Lord's called me to minister. I don't know how. And the only way I know how is to do it somewhere. I'm asking you to give me a job. He said, you're hired. So I was living in Athens. A little church was out in a place in Elbert County, if you ever heard of it, way up there, right on the South Carolina border. Little old town called Bowman. First Baptist Church, Bowman. My first night on the job was a Wednesday night. So I drove up there in my car. I don't know what to do. I've never done it before. But I noticed the church had a van. And I said to the kids that did come to the church, I said, get in the van and let's go find every kid in this town. The town wasn't very big, about like Wiggum. I said, let's go to every kid's house in this area and get them in the van. We'll bring them to church and I'm going to talk to you. So we get in the van, we just start riding around. Hey, get in the car, get in. We're picking up stragglers here and there. I never forget, when somebody said, hey, so-and-so, they ride the bus, they live right down here. We drove up there, I can see it, just like they had a wooden fence, and the boy and the girl were standing out there brushing their horses. I got out, as confident as I could be, that I was going to be the next Billy Graham, you know, and I walked down there and I said, hey, I want to invite you guys to come with us tonight. And they said, listen, right now we're brushing our horses and cleaning them. We got some stuff coming up, but we'll come next week. I said, okay, I'm coming next week to get you guys. Came, brought the rest of the kids there, had our Bible study. The next day, I packed up my three belongings that I had in somebody's borrowed pickup truck and started to move to Bowman. Way out in just outside of Colbert, Georgia, I was at one of those intersections that you could see for miles both ways. I never get as I pulled at that intersection, sitting right in front of me was a gold Volkswagen Beetle. And it had a Stevens County tag on it. You know, some funny things you remember. And I remember sitting there because I just stopped at a gas station and got me a Coke. And I remember looking and I saw a girl reach down and get a Coke and take a swallow. And I looked at my buddy, I said, she's drinking a Coke, just like, bam! Semi hit her and drove that car down into a ditch. I pulled that truck over the side of the road. I ran down to that car. I knew there wasn't anything I could do. I looked in the driver's side window and I could see the back of her head and I could see her right hand just like this. And the only blood I saw was coming between her ring finger and her middle finger. State Patrol finally got there. They told me to stay so I could talk to them. And when they pulled that semi off that truck, they said, oh my goodness, there's somebody else in this car. That truck was on top of them. It was that girl and that boy who said, next week, we'll be with you. When I first became a pastor, I'd never done a funeral before. And I don't know why, but I was terrified about doing a funeral. And so you know what I'd do, like a church like this? I'd look around and say, who's the oldest, sickliest-looking person in this church? And I'd go talk to them. Because I said that I'll be doing their funeral before long. So if I talk to you too much, beware. That day finally came when I did the first funeral. Guess who it was? 12-year-old boy whose daddy accidentally ran over him. All I'm saying to you, listen, Jesus said, you see all these things? One day it's all going to be gone. And that kingdom that you built in this life, one day it's going to be gone. All that stuff that you set back, your kid's going to give that stuff to the Goodwill. You think I'm joking? You know what they say the average person in America, their net worth is when they die? About $300,000 or $3,000. If they sell all, you can't sell your furniture out of your house anymore, nobody wants it. You can't sell clothes anymore, nobody wants it. All that to say, I'm telling you, Jesus said, listen, an end's going to come one day. And you better be prepared. Lastly, I want to say to you, Jesus gives us the revelation of the ages. Jesus said, there will not be left here one stone upon another. I mean, there is no religion. There is no other religious group, whether it's Buddhism or Islam or anything else, that does what the Bible does. No religion attempts to make the minute details of prophecy that the Bible does. The prophecies of the Bible are detailed. They are amazing and they are alarming. And the prophecies of the Bible prove that God is just who He says He is. And they're so specific and they're so clear that, listen, you better listen to everything He has to say. Interesting enough, in Ezekiel 26, verse 1 through 6, you can write it down, you can look at it when you get home, but let me read it to you very quickly. In the 11th year, on the first day of the month, the word of the Lord came to me, son of man, because Tyre said concerning Jerusalem, aha, the gate of the peoples is broken. It is swung open to me. I shall be replenished now that she is laid waste. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against you, O Tyre, and I will bring up many nations against you as the sea brings up its waves. And they shall destroy the walls of Tyre and break down her towers, and I will scrape her soil from the earth and make her a bare rock. She shall be in the middle, cast in the middle of the sea, a place for spreading nets. For I have spoken, declares the Lord God, and she shall become plunder for the nations, and the daughters on the mainland shall be killed by the sword, and they will know that I am the Lord. Interesting, Tyre is a city in modern-day Lebanon. It's got two of the most natural harbors in all of the Mediterranean. Nebuchadnezzar assaulted the city of Tyre at one time for 13 years. But the people of Tyre had gotten smart. About 1 kilometer off the coast was a small island. And out on the island, they built an unbelievable fortress. And so anytime anybody would come after them, they are all sailors. They would all just get in their boats. They'd sail out to that island and wave at them and say, "You can't touch us." They were all great fishermen, so they could go out and fish every day and get what they needed. This isn't modern day where you got airplanes that can bomb them. They were isolated out there. Especially after 13 years and they repulsed the Babylon kingdom, they believed they were untouchable. Till one day a guy by the name of Alexander the Great showed up. He was headed to Persia. He wanted to take over all of Persia. But this place was away. So Alexander went in and he made a deal. He met with the people of Tyre and he said, "Listen, I hear out there on that fortress, you have a beautiful statue of Hercules." And he said, "I'm a descendant of Hercules. And I'd like to go out there and make a sacrifice." The people of Tyre thought, "We ain't not opening our doors to this guy." And they said, "No." And Alexander said, "Listen, I made you an offer. And you think that you're untouchable because we're a bunch of foot soldiers. But you don't know who you're talking to." And the next thing he knows, everybody in Tyre got in their ships and they went out to that castle. Alexander was furious. And so he said, "I'll tell you what to do." He said, "Take every stone from the city on the shore, and I want you to build a bridge out to that castle." 4 months, 200,000 something people. The people from Tyre would pull their boats up alongside that bridge they were building and make fun of them, saying, "You didn't think you would be hauling dirt and rocks when you joined the army, did you?" Finally, as they got close, Alexander built battering rams on ships and would run them fast as he could and hit those walls. And one day he punched a hole in one of them. And right after that, he had two ships tied together and they built a tower that was taller than the walls on the boat. And he and his elite soldiers sailed up, and as a coordinated attack, he and his soldier jumped on the wall as his other soldiers poured in that hole, and they wiped out the entire city. All children sold as slaves. And the entire city of Tyre was cast into the sea. God said it, and it happened. Fast forward to the year 30 AD. Jesus is looking at the biggest structure on the planet. And he says, "Listen, not one stone will be left on top of another." Jesus is crucified not long after he says this. It seems like his words may have fallen flat. But in 66 AD, a new governor came to Caesarea and went inside a synagogue. And when he did, the people began to revolt. And it got worse and it got worse. And revolt began to happen all over the nation of Israel. And they drove all Roman soldiers out of the country. The guy in Syria got his army together and tried to put it out because he didn't want it to get worse. But he couldn't stop them. And what you begin to see is the people of Israel, they begin to take back everything that they thought was there. They got the city of Jerusalem, and they got the temple, and they got everything. Finally, Vespasian sent Titus to quell the uprising. When Titus arrived, he camped about 3 miles outside of Jerusalem. He took off his uniform, his helmet, and his vest, and he rode up to the wall. And he said who he was and why he was there. And they began to throw rocks at him. He went back, and in 4 days later, they breached the outer wall. He took a contingent of 1,000 soldiers inside the city and met with the heads of the city. And he said, listen, I have 7 legions outside. We're going to take this city. But if you surrender right now, you can go in peace. They tried to kill him and killed about 700 of those 1,000 soldiers. As they began to attack the second wall, 4 days later, it fell. But now they had reached the third and final wall, and the fighting became fierce. For more than 18 kilometers around the city of Jerusalem, they cut down every tree there was, the Romans did. They poured salt on the ground. They began to starve those people. The night before the city was breached, 2 Roman soldiers had been beheaded, and this sent the army into a frenzy. And the next day, when they stormed the final walls, one soldier cut somebody, and they had eaten gold to try to save it. And when they saw that, they said, slice everybody open. Women, children, young and old. And as they took the city and as people began to retreat, going back and back and back, they began to burn everything. Almost 1 million people had starved to death within the city. And they finally pushed everybody into the temple area and set it on fire. And as it began to burn, it burned all records, it burned all treasures, it burned everything that they had. And it burned all that gold, began to fall and melt and fall between those stones. And the Roman soldiers pried every stone of that temple apart to get that gold. And just exactly what Jesus said came true. There's one more prophecy that the Bible tells us about, and it's this. You and I are irreparably damaged by sin. And there's nothing that we can do to save ourselves. And that our kingdom will come to an end. And then the last thing I want to share with you, and just one sentence here, is the first verse, or the first sentence of chapter, of verse 3. It says this, as he said on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him. Can I say to you, I don't know where you are, I don't know what your day will be, I don't know when your end will come, but it's going to come. Jesus has prophesied it. It's appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. And I challenge you this morning to go to Jesus, turn to him, and trust him alone for your salvation. Because now is the beginning of the end. Let's pray. Father, I pray that even today you would speak, you would call, you would change. In your name I pray. Amen. Maybe this morning there's something heavy on your heart. Maybe there's some sin hidden deep inside of you. Maybe today's the day you need to come and get on this altar and say, Lord, I know my end's coming. And I want things to be right between me and you. Listen, religion is worthless. But Jesus is real. And he saves. And he makes whole. You do business with the Lord today as we begin to play and sing.